Rabihari. Gopi Janavala Bha Giribharan Hari. Jaya Gopi Janavala Bha Giribharan Hari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Anjaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Jai Om Stupad Paramahansa Paravrika Charja Ashtota Rudra Shimada Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Jai. Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Prajakacharya Ashtotarita Shishimada Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Kijai Ananda Koti Vaishnavinda Kijai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Kijai Kvantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Kijai Asamaveta Bhaktavinda Kijai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glory to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Narayanam Namaskritya Narangchaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudiraye. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, we should offer our respectful obeisances unto Lord Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and to Nara Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, and to Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and to Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and unto Srila Prabhupada and his disciples. The disciples have translated this portion of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Nashta Prayesha Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavat Yuttama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki. By regular attendance and classes on Srimad Bhagavatam and by rendering devotional service to the pure devotee, all that is inauspicious within the heart is destroyed almost to nil, and loving devotion to the Supreme Lord, who is glorified in transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. On this 29th day of March, 2018, in Alachua, Florida, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We are in the 11th canto, entitled General History, Chapter 19, The Perfection of Spiritual Knowledge, text number 11. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Ittametat Puraraja Bhishmam Dharma Bhatam Varam Ajatashatru Papritcha. Sarvesham Non Shinbatam. Sri Bhagavan Vacha. Ittametat Pura Raja. Bhishmang Dharma Bhatambaram. Ajata Shatru Papracha. Sarvesham Non Shinbatam. Ittametat Pura Raja. Bhishmam Dharma Bhatambaram. Ajata Shatru Papracha. Sarvesham Non Shinbatam. Ittametat Pura Raja. Bhishmam Dharma Pratambaram. Ajata Shatru Papracha. Ittametat Pura Raja. Bhishmam Dharma Bhatambaram. Ajata Shatru Papracha. Sarvesham Non Shinbatam. Where is? Ittametat Pura Raja. Bhishmam Dharma Bhatambaram. Ajata Shatru Papracha. Sarvesham Non Shinbatam. Ittametat Pura Raja. Bhishmam Dharma Bhatambaram. Ajata Shatru Papracha. Sarvesham Non Shinbatam. Okay, I'll read through the synonyms and it can be too long. Sri Bhagavan Vacha, the Supreme Personality of God, had said, Ittam, thus, Etat, this, Pura, formerly, Raja, the king, Bhishmam, unto Bhishma, Dharma, of religious principles, Bhatam, of the upholders, Varam, unto the best, Ajata Shatruhu, King Yudhishthir, who considered no one his enemy, Papracha, asked Sarvesham, while all, Naha, of us, Anushinbatam were carefully listening. Translation. The Supreme Personality of God had said, My dear Uddhava, just as you are now inquiring from me, similarly in the past, King Yudhishthir, who considered no one his enemy, inquired from the greatest of the upholders of religious principles, Bhishma, while all of us were carefully listening. We're going to read a few more. You can respond. Nivritte bharate yudhe suran nidhan suran nidana vigvalaha sudva dharman bahun paschan moksha dharman apritchata. When the great battle of Kurukshetra had ended, King Yudhishthir was overwhelmed by the death of many beloved well-wishers. And thus, after listening to instructions about many religious principles, he finally inquired about the path of liberation. Tanaham te bidhasyami. Deva vratamakat chutan. Gana vairagya vijnana. Shraddha bhaktyupabringhitan. I will now speak unto you those religious principles of Vedic knowledge, detachment, self-realization, faith, and devotional service that were heard directly from the mouth of Bhishma Dev. Text 14. Navaikarasa panchatrin. Bhavan bhuteshu ye navai. Ichse tatai ikam. apyasteshu. That's a mistake there. Aikam. There's no diacritical with the A in Aikam. Tadjanam mamanishtitam. I personally approve of that knowledge by which one sees the combination of 9, 11, 5, and 3 elements in all living entities, and ultimately one element within those 28. Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. The 9 elements are material nature, the living entity, the mahatattva, false ego, and the 5 objects of sense perception, namely sound, touch, form, taste, and aroma. The 11 elements are the 5 working senses, the voice, hands, legs, anus, and genitals, plus the 5 knowledge-acquiring senses, the ears, touch, eyes, tongue, and nostrils, along with the coordinative sense, the mind. The 5 elements are the 5 physical elements, namely earth, water, fire, air, and sky, and the 3 elements are the 3 modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. All living entities, from mighty Lord Brahma down to an insignificant weed, manifest material bodies composed of these 28 elements. The one element within all 28 is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supersoul, who is all-pervading within the material and spiritual worlds. One can easily understand that the material universe is composed of innumerable causes and effects. Since Lord Krishna is the cause of all causes, all secondary causes and their effects are ultimately non-different from the personality of Godhead. This understanding constitutes real knowledge, or jnana, which is essential for perfecting one's life. Om jnana timurandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshu unmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, but my spiritual master Srila Prabhupada opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisance unto him and all members of Sri Parampara. So, this is the response to Uddhava's 2 very moving prayers. The first of which was Dastam Janam Sampatitam Vilesmin Kalahina Chudbusukoda Darsham. Samudharayam kapiyapa bhagyar vachobirasincha mahanubhav. In that prayer, we hear him, Uddhava is asking Krishna to deliver him completely, pull him out, samudharayam, of this hole that he's fallen into, namely the material world, in which he's being bitten by what? Who remembers? The snake of? Time. Time. So, the snake of time means that time destroys everything. Remember from the Bhagavad Gita? Kalos miloka traikritva vidho. In the 11th chapter, Arjuna is asked to see this universal form, and Krishna manifests to him, and it come, after a while it gets to be very frightening and awe-inspiring. He's not feeling the fraternal relationship so much anymore. And so he asks Krishna, who are you, actually? And Krishna answers this famous verse, which is also quoted by Robert Oppenheimer, as soon as he saw the first atom bomb blow up. I heard that they didn't really know. There was a good chance they thought that the whole world would blow up, or the whole universe. But, well, we'll give it a chance anyway. We'll blow it. Anyway, this is what... So he was a dabbler in the Bhagavad Gita, Robert Oppenheimer. So he quotes this verse. So... The snake of time is, you can't get away from it. In other words, it's always threatening. The only ones who can really relieve that threat are the devotees, who really transcend the time by coming to the platform beyond change. In other words, what is it about time that's so frightening? As well, it's making you change, it's forcing you to change, and moving you toward destruction. And the material consciousness, there's this great illusion that you are the body and that the situation you're in is more or less how it's always going to be. I remember when we were in Miami, I always tell this story. When I came there, they had just built that boardwalk out there. And boardwalk adds a lot of opulence to a beach. You know, you can walk down easily on the beach. And especially there, there's a lot of old people. They retire to those hotels, and now they can walk along the beach without much strain instead of trying to drag through the sand. So there was also you have the old people going down, coming back. I was seeing out my window right on the beach. You remember Govinda's Vaikuntha building, a hotel on the beach between the temple. But there are also some very wealthy and young, vibrant people would come up on vacation from Brazil, youngsters, wealthy. And they would set up a volleyball right on the beach, and they'd be playing volleyball, you know. So there's this contrast. And the old people walking by, you know, they may be thinking, because, you know, well, yeah, I used to be like that. I used to be able to do it, you know, but now I can't. But the young people aren't thinking. They're not, you know, oh, I'm going to be like that someday. Right? That's where I'm going. When you're a young person, I know I did, before I even heard of, you know, Krishna consciousness, you think, I'm constitutionally young. And those are old people, like my parents. You know? Isn't it? And it's like, what could be more amazing? This is the most amazing thing you just mentioned here. It's like that. People are being dragged off the stage by death and gone to Yamaraj day by day. Ahani hani bhutani gacchandihi yamalayam sheshak stavana mitchandi kamashtaya matakparam. So he was asked by his father, actually, who was hidden. He didn't know his father. Some questions so he could drink the water. You know the story. So that was the, I think, final or most famous question and answer. What's the most amazing thing? And the most amazing thing, when you think about it, is that day after day, so many million in this world, millions and millions of people are dying. But those who are left, of course, we understand theoretically that we're all going to die. But you live as if this is your permanent situation, which is actually complete illusion, right? So the snake of time is always threatening. But it's the devotees who take it seriously and want to get out of this well, get out of this prison house. And so I'd like to share two other verses with you about being in the well. Now, before I do that, the material world is compared to a deep well that you can't get out of and you're threatened by the snake. It's often also compared to a forest fire or an ocean. Right? Those are common analogies. Now, what do those three things share? Can anyone say? What is it about the well, the ocean, the fire? Danger and a threat, and really helplessness. I live like within, you know, three blocks of the ocean. And I never go in the ocean. That's another story. But, you know, the boats are coming here and there. And there's always danger. The perfect example, the analogy of the material world is the cruise, right? You go on one of these cruises and you forget you're in danger and you're enjoying like anything and you think you're on vacation, you're out of the 12-mile limit, the laws don't quite apply, all the gambling and everything go on. You know, but one of those cruise ships sprung a leak once and they capsized. You remember that? It was a few years ago and the whole bubble has popped and suddenly people are scrambling trying to get to the life preservers. So you're in a helpless condition. Forest fire, only if the rains come or someone, you know, somehow. If you fall in the ocean, you have to have a life preserver. If that doesn't work, you're finished. And if you're in a dark, deep, blind well, you know, especially if there's some snake in there, then all you can do is call for help. So I'm going to share with a couple of verses now. Can you bring up, we can chant this one together. Mukunda Mala, number 36. See if you can find it. And while we're waiting for that one, I'll give you another one from the Stava Mala. Rupa Goswami, he chants this verse. Manasidya Panidrushte. Mukunda Mala 36. Manasidya Panidrushte, Labhantapatos Midrushte. Timada Gahana Rupe, Hanta Sansara Kupe. Ajita Nikala Rakshahi, Tamundara Raksham, Ubanayama Mahaste, Bhakti Rajun Namaste. Fallen in this deep and dark and dirty well of Maya, threatened by the snake of lust, whose venom burns like fire. Helplessly I pray, O Lord, whose strength is ne'er in doubt. place the robe of bhakti in my hands and pull me out. Now the robe of bhakti, we've all been given that robe of bhakti, but what's our job? Just to hold on to the rope, right? If we're not willing to follow the process of bhakti, then Krishna really can't save us. This is our freedom. We can stay in Maya. So the rope is there with his instructions, the guru, the holy name, the deities, everything. He reaches out to us, but we have to take it. Now, this is a beautiful verse from the Stabamala, as I mentioned, from the Mukundamala. And let me just bring this up a few times. And I'll chant it and you can... Oh, my goodness. This is not the one I was thinking of. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, let me just... Okay. Yeah, that's it. Right. Give the Sanskrit. Yeah. You don't have it on there, huh? Just search this. Search this. Andhasya. You know how to spell it? A-N-D-H-A-S-Y-A. A-N-D-H-A-S-Y-A. May. There's only one verse for it. Andhasya May. A-N-D-H-A-S-Y-A. Let me. A-N-D-H-A-S-Y-A. And then space, may, M-E. Oh boy. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You got it? Andhasya. A-N-D-H. A-S-Y-A. That's it. Just try that. Andhasya. You'll find it. Now, another one. Another one. Keep looking. Just hit me. Yeah. May, M-E, space, M-E, space. All right, now try it. You got to get it now. Just hit search, okay. Hit return. Hit return. There you go. All right. Andasya me rita viveka mahadanasya. Chaurai prabom balibit indriya nama dheyai. Mohanda kupa kuhadeva nipati tasya. Devesha dehi kupana sakarava lambham. Show it. O Lord, the powerful thieves of my senses have blinded me by stealing my most precious possession, my discrimination. And they, the senses, have thrown me deep into the pitch dark well of delusion. Please, O Lord of Lords, extend your hand and save this wretched soul. Great verse, everyone can learn. So this is the situation that Uddhava, taking the role of a conditioned soul, has painted with his beautiful verses. And he's asking Krishna to deliver him. And you remember how? By sprinkling down the nectarian waters which bring liberation of a Bhargaya, of his words, by speaking the words. In other words, instructing him. And that is the rope, that is the deliverance, the instructions that he will follow. So now Krishna here, and it's very interesting because he refers to this conversation between Yudhishthira and Bhishma in the Mahabharata, actually. Because in that conversation we find, now in this ninth chapter of first canto, we'll find that it's referred to. But all kinds of instructions were given to him about how to run the kingdom. You remember, Yudhishthira was shocked. He was depressed at the vast slaughter that had taken place. And it's mentioned right in the Bhagavatam, not just the human beings, but also the animals. The horses and the elephants. There's so much blood, you know, and he was just... He felt, who cares about this kingdom? He was very crestfallen. So then... So Bhishma had fallen on the battlefields on this bed of arrows, and they encouraged him to go there and get instruction from him. Now, Krishna also came, but instead of him speaking, he let Bhishma Dev speak. He do the instructing, which is very significant. He wanted his pure devotee to be glorified by giving these important instructions, which, after all, were necessary for the world to go on now. Because Yudhishthira is the king, he needs to be encouraged. So there are a lot of technical instructions given, a lot of things about Varnashram, the duties of the king, duties of the ashram. And then it's described how the sun moved into the period when it's very auspicious to leave the body, and Bhishma Dev starts offering these beautiful prayers in the ninth chapter. But before that, he's instructing Yudhishthira in the process of liberation. That's mentioned here. And so Krishna says here that he's going to give those basic same instructions. And then the verse that we read, the 14 and 15, did we read 15? Okay. Okay, so let's read 15 now. I'm sorry, I'm supposed to read 15 too, and then we'll discuss more. You have 15 up? I'm sorry, I kind of moved it around. Okay, that's it. One more up. That's it. Etadeva hi vijnanam. Natatayakena yena yat. Stitrutpatyapyayam pasyed. Bhavanam chigunatmanam. When one no longer sees the 28 separate material elements which arise from a single cause, but rather sees the cause itself, the personality of Godhead, at that time one's direct experience is called vijnan, or self-realization. So you have jnan and avijnan. Purport, the difference between jnan, ordinary Vedic knowledge, and vijnan, self-realization, can be understood as follows. A conditioned soul, although cultivating Vedic knowledge, continues to identify himself to some extent with the material body and mind, and consequently with the material universe. In trying to understand the world he lives in, the conditioned soul learns through Vedic knowledge that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the one supreme cause of all material manifestations. He comes to understand the world around him, which he accepts more or less as his world. As he progresses in spiritual realization, breaking through the barrier of bodily identification, and realizes the existence of the eternal soul, he gradually identifies himself as part and parcel of the spiritual world, Vaikuntha. At that time, he is no longer interested in the personality of Godhead merely as the supreme explanation of the material world. Rather, he begins to reorient his entire mode of consciousness so that the central object of his attention is the personality of Godhead. Such a reorientation is required, since the Supreme Lord is the factual center and cause of everything. A self-realized soul in the stage of vijnan thus experiences the personality of Godhead not merely as the creator of the material world, but as its supreme living entity existing blissfully in his own eternal context. As one progresses in one's realization of the Supreme Lord in his own abode in the spiritual sky, one gradually becomes disinterested in the material universe and ceases to define the Supreme Lord in terms of his temporary manifestations. A self-realized soul in the stage of vijnan is not at all attracted by objects that are created, maintained, and ultimately destroyed. The stage of jnan is the preliminary stage of knowledge for those who still identifying themselves in terms of the material universe, whereas vijnan is the mature stage of knowledge for those who see themselves as part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. So this is, Krishna's giving this knowledge, this instruction, as a response to Uddhava's question, and this is how we can actually be delivered. In other words, the difference between jnana and vijnana is that we understand the material elements, as Krishna enumerated in the previous chapter, how everything is constructed, and that the Supreme Lord is the source of it. But only when we begin to develop our own relationship with the Lord and appreciate him as the supreme attractive person who we have a relationship with, can our heart, if you will, be drawn away from attraction and involvement with the things of this material world. Just knowing in other words, Sankhya, devoid of any bhakti, is just more or less science. The scientists also analyze this world, You see, they don't understand the source, but they theorize that. But that's not what they're after. They're after just analyzing the different elements and manipulating them to create something for the senses. So, but the process of understanding the different elements, that's also there in what Krishna described. But then at the end of the verse, previous verse, he said, but the devotee sees the 28th element within everything. In other words, it's like the 7th chapter, Bhagavad Gita. Bhumarapa ananovaya kanmanobhuvarevacha. Okay, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. But then there's the second half of the verse. These eight are my separated material energies. And then there's the other energy, the para prakriti, para shakti, which is the living entity. Is it? So this analysis, this sambandha gyan, is part of sambandha gyan, is important for us to understand the whole situation that we're in. Because the overall, overarching motive, well, how can I get out of it? Is it? I'm threatened. This whole section here is about, oh, I'm in this deep well, and I want to get out. And Uddhava's taking that role of the conditioned soul coming to Krishna consciousness. So let's just step back a moment and see the motive. What are the different motives that people do anything? Well, there's attraction, and then there's fear are two big ones. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Right? Those are the four basic animal principles. Three of them are out of attraction. Eating, sleeping, and mating. It's, I want to do it, I want to do it. But the fourth one, defending, is motivated out of fear. And when there's actually a threat, that overwhelms the other ones. You may be eating a nice meal, but your house couch is on fire. You forget about that and run out, right? That takes precedence over all the others because your very existence is threatened. So the fear motive is very, very powerful. And that's why the leaders, of the demonic leaders, they always try to keep the people in fear. There's some big enemy out there. Oh, yes, protect us. We'll pay our taxes and we'll go to war like that. And this is when the world is run by demons, then they're always trying to keep the people in fear, just like the 1984 book. Oh, yes, the war is going on and we have to fear so-and-so and anything like that. So that's still happening. But the devotees, the Shastra, is giving us the actual situation that your real enemy isn't out there. Your real enemy is inside, the uncontrolled mind, uncontrolled senses, because it keeps you bound to this material world where there's danger at every step. The threefold miseries are always threatening you. Right? We heard that story, was it yesterday? About, you know, someone caught in the material world and he falls into the well, and there's a snake below him, and it's just the night and day, the black and white rat, right, are chewing at the little vine that's holding him up. But there's a few drops of honey, and he's taking shelter in that. Let me forget my situation, I'll enjoy. That's really what sense gratification is. It's a narcotic that every living entity in the material world uses to try to forget the actual dangerous situation we're in. So, devotees, we follow the four regular principles. No intoxication, no narcotics. We don't want to forget the situation. We want to face it, you see, and take shelter of that which actually can save us from the situation. And at the same time, give us the highest pleasure. Rather than these flickering maya sukaya pleasures that are just fool's gold. They really aren't worth anything, and they're your greatest enemy. Prabhupada says right in the Bhagavad Gita, the greatest enemy of the conditioned soul is the little pleasure that he can get from sense gratification. Because that covers your knowledge. Remember the third chapter? The lust covers your knowledge when you engage in it. And then you forget everything, and you're just in the moment, and you're trying to enjoy, you know. And the snake is still threatening you. So the gyan is the foundation of the vigyan. And as Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains in his commentary on this verse, he says, in the gyan stage, we understand that the Paramatma, the Super Soul, the Lord, is the source of all of the elements. But we don't see him. We don't see the Super Soul. We just understand. In the vigyan stage, you don't see the elements. You see the Super Soul everywhere. You see your vision is purified so that you see God everywhere. Just like Lord Chaitanya said to Ramananda Roy. The great devotees, they don't actually see everything. They see Radha Krishna in the manifestation in everything. Right? The Ishta Devi's purity. So how does that actually work? I was thinking about this. It's kind of how language works. Or like this painting here. Now this painting is, this one over here is a depiction of, looks like the run up to the Rasa dance, which is, you know, is that what it is? More or less, he's attracted all the gopis and they come. This one right here, the big one right there. Right? No, the one where Krishna's got his flute and the gopis are there. They've come. Yeah, all right. So, but what is it? I mean, it's just paint. Right? Different colors. Someone walks in here, or a cat, you know, sneaks into the temple and looks at that painting. What is he going to see? Nothing. Just, you know, a bunch of light and painting. Or a little baby, a child sees it, you know. There's no way that he understands what that is, isn't it? So there's a language. We don't see. And when Prabhupada looked at these paintings, he saw the spiritual world. He saw the Ras dance, right? He would be enthralled. These are windows on the spiritual world. He would say like that. Even the crude paintings, he would relish them. So the idea is that when we see, or when we perceive something, we perceive according to our consciousness. That's pretty obvious, right? So Krishna consciousness is purification of the consciousness. So we see the reality, which is that Krishna is all pervasive. He's everywhere. And a temple, like this temple, is a construction in which it's obvious that everything is related to Krishna. Everything is supposed to be reminding you of Krishna. That's why we have the paintings and, of course, the deities, right? The Krishna comes. He's manifesting through these material elements, but it's not marble. It's Krishna, right? It's Krishna that we're seeing, that we relish, that we pray to, may cry to. It's not a marble, you know, marble that we're doing. So it's just like language. And this, it was interesting because I was thinking of some of these shlokas, you know. And what is it? It's Sanskrit. Now, most people don't understand the Sanskrit. And I chant the verse so that it sounds very nice. What does it mean? In other words, what's the meaning that's coming through, you know, through that sound? And we understand, especially when transcendental subjects or the holy name, you know, as one of the transcendental is vibrated, it's non-different, right? Namachintamani Krishna, abhinatvanamanamino. In the Sanskrit, when you're vibrating, especially about transcendental subjects, there's no difference between the name and the name, which is like inconceivable, right? That the name of Krishna is Krishna in full. Prabhupada says that's the period of advancement. But that's the reality. So the idea is that through all of the media that Krishna comes to us at, when we actually experience Krishna directly, that's vidyan. When we see it as a representation of Krishna, or this is Krishna's energy, or rasoham apsukanteya, you know, we see him in you know, I am the taste of water, you know. Well, that's the first step. That's like the universal form. Isn't it? I am the taste. It's a way of remembering Krishna, training the mind to remember Krishna in the material energy. But at the same time, oftentimes, you know, we forget that, and it's just a glass of water. You know, Prabhupada said even the drunkard, you know, if he remembers this verse, you know, rasa could also mean any liquor. You know, he will one day become a great devotee. But one day means at a certain point when he stops drinking. And he sees, he understands that Krishna is there, connecting Krishna with the material world. But to actually see Krishna everywhere, and this brought to mind this, because the word vigyan, the famous series beginning with Shrimatam Sukata Krishna, Punya Shavana Kirtana, Kuridyan Taksto Yabhadrani Vidanoti Suritsatam. So our basic process, most important, hearing, right? Even when you're chanting japa, the most important aspect of it is the hearing as well as the chant. So Krishna within the heart, he's there, and he's the friend of the truthful devotee, and he cleanses the heart of abhadras, of all the illusions and the attachments that are blocking our awareness of him. And when a good amount of cleansing has taken place, nashta prayeshu abhadreshu, those unwanted things, lust, anger, greed, illusion, etc., are almost gone to a large part, prayeshu, then one gets fixed in the mode of goodness and is fixed in bhakti also. That's like the nishtha platform. And the lower modes don't affect him. Lust, anger, and greed are diminished. And he goes on. Tada rajastamo bhava kamago padayasya. Then the lust and anger are not bothering me so much. Then it goes on. Evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yoga. By this bhagavad bhakti, serving the two Bhagavats, the book Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat Prabhupada explained, one comes with natural joy and clarity of mind. Prasanna also means very clear-minded. Bhagavat tattva vijnanam. Then the vijnanam is coming. See? Mukta sangasya jayate. And you're liberated. You're free from the attachments and the binding of this material world. And then, vidyate vidya grantis, chidyante sarva sankshaya, chiyante jacha karmani, drishta evatmani shure. So, all of your knots in the heart, your attachments are destroyed, your karma is destroyed, your doubts are destroyed, and one sees oneself and one's master. That's what that translation is. One sees both, yes. That, sorry, Prabhupada said one sees oneself, the controlling factor, whatever, that's what he is. There's something missing there between self. One sees oneself and the controlling factor or the master. What is it? Is it a kama? Is oneself is synonymous with the Ishvara? Why not? What happened to the bhakti? Is it as our first editor said, one sees oneself as the spiritual master? One sees the self, you made it, but Prabhupada said oneself, that's you, that's the living entity. No, it's the word and. As you'll discover if you begin reading the purport. The very first sentence of the purport says, when one becomes realized, vijnan, one sees oneself as well as one as the Lord. Just like Narada Muni, remember? He saw himself and then he lost sight of both himself and the Lord. And then, you know, the distress and Krishna spoke to him disembodied. So, and further in the purport, Prabhupada directly says, one sees one's master. That's from the purport. So the idea is exactly what's saying here. Vijnana means to see the Lord at every moment. Premanjanachurita bhakti vilochanena. Is that your eyes are, you become a lover of God and you see him every moment within the heart as well as everywhere. And that's, you're delivered from the well. That is deliverance. There's no other deliverance. Without bhakti, there's no mukti. Priti na yavan mai vasudeve namuchate dehi yogena tava. This is from Rishabhdev in the last of those. Priti in the yavan mai vasudeva. Unless and until there is love for me, Vasudeva, he directly says he's an incarnation of Krishna right there. Namuchate dehi yoga. One cannot be freed from the bondage to a body. In other words, one cannot be liberated. There's many other verses describing it. So why is that? Because what's binding us here is our attachment to this world. And just by force trying to control the senses, krichena padang padang, right, that verse, by upset, but eventually patantya dho, and the impersonal realization does not purify the heart. It's unnatural for the soul. The natural thing is to be have a relationship with Krishna, with personal relationship, and we're doing it here on a reflected basis, and it's frustrating. It's frustrating, keeping us bound here, all the relationship we have with animate and inanimate things. And sometimes the inanimate things are taken to be animate. Everybody's on a screen. What are people looking at? They're playing games. They're identifying with their avatar in the game, right? Isn't it called avatar? I'm your big hero, you know? And it's so absorbing. They're meditating. People die at those screens. You know, they have, especially where they have very fast and cheap Wi-Fi in like Korea or China. And they go to the internet cafe, and they'll get on there, and they're staying on there daily. One poor kid, he died, and his head was on the keyboard. Nobody stopped playing, you know, on and on and on. It happens. What's going on there? It's like the perverted reflection of transmigration. They're identifying completely with that, you know, with that wonderful, you know, powerful, attractive person in the machine. So this is a kind of madness, isn't it? Nunam pamattak purudevi karma. So, but the reality is that there is a wonderful other identity that we haven't discovered. And that's our sarup siddhi. That's our actual relationship with Krishna. And the more we approach that and meditate on Krishna and serve Krishna, using these very things that we're attracted to try to exploit in Krishna's service. That's what actual yukta vairagya is. That's the whole point. Anasaktasya vishayan yata hamapa yunjata nirbandha krishna sambandhi yuktam vairagya muchate. That vairagya has to be there. But vairagya in yoga means that without attachment, taking those things that can be appropriately used in Krishna service and engaging them in his service, this is called yukta vairagya. And this is how we purify our own desire for those things. That's what the whole science of prasadam is. You don't just cook for yourself, you're cooking for Krishna. It's an act of love for Krishna, and you take the remnants which he's giving you back, and it increases the relationship rather than obliterates the relationship if you just cook for yourself. So that's the process Krishna will describe here. And it comes back to the same idea, and that this Bhagavatam is so encyclopedic. It teaches the same thing from many different points of view and reiterates many of the same points. And it's simply there. It's in the Bhagavad Gita also, in summary, to first understand where we're situated. What is this material world? What is this body? Is it me? No. Dehi no smenyata dehe. That's the first teaching. You're not the body. You're going through. Or who am I? What is my function? And that is taught, beginning mostly in the seventh chapter and through the middle six chapters on bhakti, is that this is how the liberation comes naturally. And you don't feel, we discussed that verse yesterday, I who haridi bai pung sam. The devotee, only the devotees don't have their lifetime diminished day after day by the rising and setting of the sun. Because they're always hearing and chanting. Uttama shloka bhartaya. They use their time for that. And therefore, they don't feel time passing the same way. Yes, we're all headed, and all of us are getting nearer to the, leaving this body. But if we're mature devotees and we're confident in our service and we identify ourselves as devotees and we relish, then we can know that, okay, so what? This body will fall and I'll continue doing what I'm doing. The tragedy, the scary thing is that everything you put your energy into, all that you like, all that you built, your family and your name and your whatever it is all turning to dust. Because it's attached to the body. You may have $1 billion, but it's a name in a bank account. But that name is for your body, not for your soul. Soul goes off and you've got to suffer the sins that... The reaction for the sins that you committed in order to get that $1 billion. So nothing lasts except your assets in Krishna consciousness, your assets in bhakti. That you can take with you. Krishna assures us even a little advancement protects you from the greatest fear, and you'll be born in the family continuum. So therefore, devotees who are really living on the planes, the pure devotees, living already in the spiritual world, and this world at the same time. What does Brahma say? Not a second passes away in the spiritual world. There's no past, there's no future. There's only the eternal present. And there's no time, as we know here, in change. So that's the secure place beyond time. So I have one or two other verses I wanted to chant, because I told you last time that I'm going to give you some more verses for Gornatai and Radhakrishna and Krishna Balaram. So if you allow me, and then we'll still have 5 minutes for some discussion. So first, can you bring up a verse? Adi Lila, chapter 1, text 2. Adi 1, 2. And that will, we may have done this one last time, but we should all learn this. It's a wonderful verse. All right, that's going to be tough. I'll give it to you, maybe not. Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityanandao Sahodito Godo Dehe Pushpavanto Chitra Shandao Tamonudo. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Shri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and the moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Goda to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. And while I give this other verse, can you bring up Akshanbhatam which is 10:21:7 Bhagavatam. That is the perfect verse for Krishna and Balaram. That and the next one, everybody in this community should know it. Akshan Batam Palamidam. But before we chant that one, I'm going to do one more for Gornatai. And that's from... Okay, here we go. So this is again from the Nityananashtaka. There's actually two verses. I'll just do one line of the Sanskrit, then give you the poetry. So Lord Nityananda, when he says, oh brother, he's referring to Lord Chaitanya. Ahi brother, nuinam, kali kalushinam kinnu babata. Nityananda said, oh brother, Kali is now ascendant everywhere, increasing people's suffering. It's more than I can bear. Please give these fallen souls an easy process to attain the shelter of your lotus feet, the place beyond all pain. And Lord Chaitanya answers, instruct them all to chant Sri Krishna's name, the Lord replied, to worship him with love and by his teachings to abide. O friends entrapped in Kali's clutches, yearning to break free, just worship Nityananda Ram, the root of the bhakti tree. And then what did Lord Nityananda do? Oh brother, he went around to all the places. Now he's addressing not Lord Chaitanya, but the residents of Navadvipa. Oh brother, kindly chant Sri Krishna's name incessantly and also teach this process to your friends and family. Thus cross the sea of birth and death and be supremely blessed. Your liberation is the only alms that I request. Entreating thus to save the people from illusion thrall, with arms upraised, he went to every home throughout Bengal. Arms upraised, see? Oh, friends entrapped in Kali's clutches, yearning to break free, just worship Nityananda Ram, the root of the bhakti tree. Hare Krishna. Radha and Krishna verses. Okay. Sorry, I can't bring it up on the screen at this point. This is one from the Utkalika Valari, which is very similar to the Vilap Kusumanjali. This is Rupa Goswami's articulation of his intimate desires to serve Radha Krishna. So near the end of that prayer, and this is the last work that he wrote, I understand, Utkalika Valari, including Stavamala. So he prays, Pashupada Varimya Nandanao Vadame Tang Muharati Heyuvam. Bhavatu pranayo bhave bhave bhavatoreva padam bhujeshume. O Radha Krishna, children of the best of cowherd men, this single boon I beg from you again and yet again. In all the countless births my endless sins will make me meet, that all my love flow toward your luscious, lustrous lotus feet. Just do me a favor. I'll repeat that last line. May all my love flow toward your luscious, lustrous lotus feet. May all my love flow toward your luscious, lustrous lotus feet. Very tasty. Okay, let's see if I can give you one more here. Okay. This is another verse that I say every morning when I greet the deities. This is from the same book, Utkalika Valari. Hanta sanda kadunasu dajari purnamana sadado pasidatam. Durjanetu dashatang mateya nija prekshana padibhavastatamapi. O Radha and Krishna, your hearts are overflooded by the heavy torrents of mercy, filling the lake of your hearts and overflowing. Therefore, please be pleased with me, this fallen soul, this Durjana, this fallen wretch. Bestow upon me just one drop of love for you, thus guaranteeing some future audience with you. But that image of the mercy just overflowing our hearts, the lake of their hearts, very wonderful. Okay, do we have Akshan Bhatan? Not yet. Okay. Is it there behind you? Can you get rid of that thing so they can use it? Akshan Bhatan Palamigam. How can we get rid of that little box? There must be a way. Hare Krishna. Okay. Now it's good. All right. Yeah, put the Sanskrit. We'll chant it, please. And then we can have maybe a few questions. Okay, here we go. This is a very important verse for all bhaktas of Krishna Balaram. Learn it. Akshan Bhatam Palamidam Naparam Vidama. Sakya Pashunan Vivesha Yatova Yasyai. Bhaktran Vajesha Sutayo Anuvena Jishtam Yavar Napita Manorak Takataksha Moksham Yavar Napita translation, please? I can't pull it up. The cowherd girl said, this is the first of the songs of the gopis in the Venugita. This is the first verse. Oh, friends, those eyes that see the beautiful faces of the sons of Maharaj Nanda are certainly fortunate. As these two sons enter the forest surrounded by their friends, driving the cows before them, they hold their flutes to their mouths and glance lovingly upon the residents of Vrindavan. For those who have eyes, we think there is no greater object of vision. Nice, huh? Faces of Krishna Balaram. One more. Next verse. This is also by Krishna Balaram. Okay. Chuta pravada barhasta bakopalabja.
Chuta pravada barhasta
bakopalabja. Malanu pritta padidhan vichitra veshau.
Malanu pritta padidhan vichitra veshau.
Madhye vireja turalam pashupala goshtyam.
Madhye vireja turalam pashupala goshtyam.
Rangye yatana tavaro patagaya mano. Translation? Okay. Dressed in a charming variety of garments upon which their garlands rest, and decorating themselves with peacock feathers, lotuses, lilies, newly grown mango sprouts, and clusters of flower buds, Krishna and Balaram shine forth magnificently among the assembly of cowherd boys. They look just like the best of dancers, appearing on a dramatic stage. And sometimes they sing. Isn't that a nice meditation? And chant those two verses in front of Krishna Balaram and go back to Godhead. Okay, we have 5 minutes. Yes, Prabhu.
I have a question from the text on Ambarish Prabhu. Please tell Yogita Prabhu to explain Stavara Jandram Tekin Adhikita Mukti Sarvat Rahani Yajita Vasputi. They want to hear.
Yes. Oh, give the translation. But just give the translation to it, I'll try to explain it. Okay, Stavara Jangamadeki. When the pure devotee sees anything, moving or non-moving, then he, instead of seeing the tree or whatever, he sees his Ishtadeva Spurti. And this Lord Chaitanya is telling that to Ramananda Roy, because Ramananda says, I see you as Radha and Krishna. He says, oh, you did, that's because of your advancement. But then he actually manifests in this form, his combined form of Radha and Krishna, and Ramananda Roy faints in ecstasy. So is that what the explanation he wanted, or he wanted to, how to actually, what that means to see? I wish I knew. No, that's not what he's looking for. But I think it's an expansion on what Prabhupada talked about when he talks about the closest thing in this material world is the love for a mother and a child. So, okay, it's the first day of kindergarten, okay? And otherwise, until that point, the mother and the child have been inseparable. And right, she's been pampering him and feeding him and everything. So there's a tremendous bond there. So then the mother has to be separated from the child, taken to kindergarten. He's probably wailing also because he doesn't know. But then there he is. So then the mother goes home and goes into the room, and there's a little shoe that the child wore. Maybe actually from before, she looks under the bed and there's a shoe when he was only 2 years old, now he's 5 years old. So what happens? The mother looks at that shoe and all kinds of memories flood of the child walking in that shoe the first time he got the shoe. She sees the child. She's not seeing the shoe. The image and the feelings are overflowing. The tears may be coming. So the idea is that this is a reflection of the actual, this isn't the pure thing, but that's the closest they have. In other words, everything in the world reminds you of Krishna. You see Krishna in everything. Classically, Lord Chaitanya, you would see a cloud in the sky, and you would think the color, all of this, you're thinking of the Lord, he sees the Lord. Or see the any river, or see the ocean and think of the Yamuna. Is it? So he's not in that state. Of course, this is Krishna himself, but he's giving an example. And we're meant to cultivate that. If you study the Yogendra's teachings, you find that the very first one, all these famous verses, Evam Bhataksopiya Namakirtya, that's the first of the Yogendra's speaking there. And what's the means to transcend fear? Bhayam Dutiyabha Naveshitak Syad? Chanting the holy name. That's the first thing. And there's two verses about chanting the holy name. But one of the verses, and then it goes on, and then you're meant to wander in the world, because of the Yogendra speaking, which is what they do, and see everything as a manifestation of Krishna, and offer your obeisances to everything, you know, as a manifestation of the Supreme. So acquiring that vision, of course, it comes from intense, you know, for us, for sadhana bhaktas, the purification, so that you're living at every moment conscious of Krishna, both in the world and in your heart. And you're basically living in the spiritual world at that point. So this is how I understand it. I can't speak from realization. But we can get a little taste of that when we come to the temple, you know, or we see these pictures. We're not seeing paint. We're not seeing stone. We're seeing Krishna, you see. And the whole world can be like that. It can be, everything should remind you of the Lord. How can you be not Krishna conscious then? You see? In other words, this is pure, yes, Maharaj.
I think we're discussing that Sabaraj and Rama Deti.
Yeah.
So from another angle of vision, this is where we're going in the verse tomorrow. The cookbook gets into this point. Are you saying reality also? In other words, anything that's we see in this world, which is caused by something else, is
actually that thing.
Really only that other thing. So a very advanced, not that he's going through a logical analysis, but the point is he's actually seeing substance. He's not just seeing something which has no existence of its own, but borrows its existence from its cause. And then you get the previous cause, and the previous cause, and you get the sarva karana karana. So it's not that they have to analyze it like that, but automatically they actually see the root of everything. They see the real substance instead of seeing the phenomena or the contingent things that you see. I wanted to mention also that tricky verse that you mentioned at the beginning. I shouldn't say tricky. Prabhupada's not trying to trick us. But he gave the translation that he sees the self as master.
Yeah.
It's comforting to know that in the 11th canto, as you're probably aware, there's another verse that has exactly the same three lines. And then the last line says, sees me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the master. So if you have any doubt, just connect it with the 11th canto verse.
Yeah, I
had a few other comments, but I'll give others a chance.
Yeah, it's getting late. Which one?
I was walking from my car before the Uddhava gave a prayer. What was that?
Ujjalan, from the Utkalika? Utkalika Bolari? Is that what you're talking about? About Radha and Krishna?
The very beginning of the class.
Very beginning of the class. Yes. Well, that was from like the previous class. You know, Dashtam Janam Sampatitam Bilesman. Yeah, yeah. We just had that yesterday. That was his class. Okay, but you had it. Marumati. Keshava, you just get the hook when you're ready to, you know, just give me the hook. Verbally, when you're ready.
I was just wondering if you had those verses that you chanted last time about Krishna Balaram and Radha Krishna. You were chanting about Krishna's, Balaram's hair having diamond in there.
I have them. I know you want them. I can give you the whole song. I mean, I have them. Vanchita pinchavadimani lanchana maninati yanchitakesham. I know, I chant with that. There's a whole song, and that's just one of them. You know, about their hair looks like two clouds, because they got little diamonds in there, and peacock plumes, and look like clouds with rainbows and stars. You know, this is Jiva Goswami's vision. But one of my favorite ones, Hastakamalam Abhikamanapagun and Aramanakamavamaniyam. They're describing how, first of all, that you don't usually think of the beauty of Krishna's ears, but there's one of Balit and Namantakadut. I don't give you the Sanskrit. But they're so beautiful that they're attracting bees. They're thinking, what kind of flower is that? It quotes a bee, Latika Kasa Iti. What kind of creeper is this? And you feel the bees maybe going in the ears. So they have their hands, the next verse, Hastakamalabhakam, their lotus hands, they're moving in the most graceful way and manifesting little showers of honey to attract the bees away. This is my own little commentary, away from the ears, but that's an intuition. But the last one is really nice. Huh? This is Jiva Goswami's Gopal Champu. The last one is Sitam Asitam Babodasitam Pitam Vasanam Yasjad Gitam Tadidam Hidi Gokulam and Gokulam Ayatatagam Atitam. So this is based on the Venu Gita. So the gopis are saying Sitam Asitam. So their book forms are light and dark, Balaram and Krishna. And their clothes are just the opposite, you know, blue and yellow. If they come back, when they come back to Gokula, herding the Gokula. Gokula is the herds of cows, and Gokula is the place. So, Taditam Yadi Gokulam on Gokulam, following the Gokula, they're coming into Gokula, you get it? They play on words. Then certainly all of our suffering will be ended. Just write me, I'll send you the whole song. There's a bunch of them, like that. Yes, Kusha pulled out the songs and gave us the synonyms, bless his soul, you know. Okay. Keshav is in charge. He's going to end it. Okay.
Are you compiling a book of all of these select verses and their poeticized version, your poeticized version?
You know, book, what is a book? You know, I have a nice PDF file that I've created, and what I should do is to see if I get it into the database, and I can just tell you if it's in the database. But if you write me, I'll send it to you.
Okay.
Anybody can write me, I'll send it to you. I should have a website.
What's your email?
Dravida108@gmail.com.
Thank you.
All glories to Prabhupada.